did was I could sing of your love. And we have to change the ending of that song. Because I could sing of your love forever and then we end it. Maybe we need to end it on a different note. I'm just teasing. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. But I could sing of His goodness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these people, mighty men and women of God. I pray to God, Lord, that You stir our hearts tonight with the Word that You've given us. I pray to God, Lord, that it quickens us, causes us to stand up, causes us to turn our ears to You, God. Let us begin to see what You see. Let us have Your eyes to see the things that You see, God. Lord, that sometimes we're veiled with, God. Sometimes we're blinded. I pray tonight that God, Lord, our eyes be opened. Hallelujah. Under what You see. Lord, we give You glory and praise. Amen. Come on. Amen. Thank You, praise team. Amen. I want to look up Jeremiah 17. I'm talking about the heart. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about your heart. Listen, if you have a chance to come Wednesday night, but I'm going to talk about bitterness. And I'm talking about how it affects you. And sometimes we don't always realize that we have bitterness in us, but how it affects us. And some things I was really looking up is really overwhelmed me. Amen? Really did. And we have to let God deal with it. Amen? So, let me read this. This is in Jeremiah 17:9. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Say all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I want you to know that there's a declaration right there, and it's declaring something that not even man knows the depths of their heart. Say depths. How deep it goes. How far things are within us that are buried, that are deep within us, that are deceptive to you. Sometimes people say, I'm led by my heart. Don't be led by your heart. Be led by the Lord. Amen. Be led by the Lord. Sometimes, well, I just go with my heart. I want you to know that sometimes I go with my heart and I have it handed back to me. I need to go with what the Lord says. Amen? That's biblical. That we are led in the Spirit. Amen? That we walk in the Spirit. That we're led by the Lord, by the Spirit of God in our lives. So we need to be led by God. Now, I just want to share. I began to think about some things when I was dealing with in last week about the woman at the well. And I just wanted you to take a look at this and check it out again, John 4. And I want you to know that God would never let us build on something that's not Him. That's not a sure foundation. Come on, this what we've been talking about this year, that we God's building on a sure foundation. And I want you to see that the first thing that God deals with when He talks about that we love Him, that we love God with what? That's the first of the three, with our soul and with our mind. But He starts with our heart. And I want you to get this. I want you to see that, listen, that He cannot begin to build a foundation in our hearts unless our hearts are dealt with first. He's building on a solid foundation. And sometimes that there's some things that are, that, you know, I know we build foundations and sometimes you begin to dig and you don't know what you're unearthing sometimes. And sometimes some people say to you, say, well, yeah, what do you think it's going to be a big deal to dig this hole? Well, it's not always that easy. Because sometimes you begin to get in and you realize that it's not solid until you go a lot deeper. Sometimes you have to go a lot deeper to get the solid rock. And you have to unearth more than what you intended to. Sometimes we're unwilling to unearth or let God unearth what is deep within us. Sometimes we are insecure. Sometimes we're fearful. We talked about this before, that sometimes we begin to run to things as shelter. We're to run to God as our shelter. But sometimes we run to other things as our shelter. Whether it's blame. Well, the reason why I'm this way is because of this. They could be part of it, but I want you to know that we can't just run to those things to shelter us, to find safety in those things. Come on, amen. But we need to run to God. So God will not let us build on that, but God begins to work. The moment that you receive Him into your heart, guess what? He gets busy. And it's a good thing. Tell your neighbor it's a good thing. I want you to know that God's begun expanding who we are and who we are in Him and who He is within us as we open up our hearts and let God begin to work within us. Amen? So it's a good thing. And God's always finding time and moments to interrupt. To interrupt sometimes what we have been used to. And He did that with the woman at the well. She had an heart issue. She had some things that she was dealing with that I want you to know that she buried it so much that she would always try that whenever things went right, she would go find another husband. Come on, we could see this. She tried to run to a shelter. She tried to find strength in those things. But it was a heart issue that she was dealing with. There was something deep within her, an insecurity, something within her that only Christ knew. The Bible says, who knows? He knows. Tell your neighbor, He knows. He knows the depths. We can also look, and I want you to deal with it. I want you to see this, that God will bring us to a place. This nation is the place where they are dealing. God's dealing with our hearts. I want you to hear this. God is dealing with America's all around the world, but I want you to know about us. He's dealing with our hearts. Where are we? Where am I at in my heart? Is it built upon Him? And I want you to see that the Bible talks about, He says that, I'm going to read this just because when I was in worship, I began to think about this. It says, and there was a parable, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sows the good seed in a field. He says, but while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares and wheat among the wheat and went his way. Isn't that what the enemy sometimes does? He tries to plant something in your hearts. But I want you to know that our God's not intimidated by that. He's not insecure because why? He has no rival. He has no equal. Amen. No one compares to Him. And I want you to know that in the midst of it, it's okay because He'll walk with you in the midst of as they're growing. Because there's some things within us that aren't always right yet. But as He walks with us, as those begin to grow together, amen, they will be revealed. Amen. As we walk with Him, He will reveal. He will meet us where we're at. Just like this woman at the well where He sat down right where she was looking for something more. He came and He met her. Wow. He was planting something within her heart. I want you to see this. And He says, this is in John 4. Y'all good? Good? Come on, say it like me. Good. All right, thank you. Come on, we're in church, amen. This is the happiest place on earth. Come on, amen. Some people get drunk with spirits. I get drunk with the new wine, the Spirit of God. They try to steal that off us. Amen. But I got a joy that bubbles up within me when I get touched with God. Amen. Something stirs within us. And it says, and the woman, as she went, here comes Jesus. And he's about ready to disrupt. Come on, amen. What has been planted within her, what has been deep within her heart, He's about ready to touch that area of her heart because He loves her. I want you to know that sometimes we got to look and see the things that go on in our life. He loves us. And He wants to build upon our heart a sure foundation. And not in the midst of weakness because it'll crumble, amen, if it's not a sure foundation. So He wants to disrupt this thing that has been causing her an unbalance in her life, causing her to be out of balance. So as He stepped up, as He was there, she come up, not expecting. I want you to see this too, that she wasn't looking for Jesus. Come on, sometimes we're not looking for Jesus to disrupt some of the things that we don't know in our heart, but thank God that He does that. So He came up and she come, and then He asked her, don't go through the whole thing because we talk about this, but as she came up, he asked her for a drink of water. He said, can I have a drink of water? And listen to this. And He says, and the woman said unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw the well with, and it is deep. From thence are you going to get this living water? He says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. And I want you to see this. There was a well that was deep, but I want you to look and see how powerful this, that not only was that well deep, but so was her heart. Her heart was deep, like a well. And there was something within her that she didn't even know what she was running from or what she was hiding from, what that thing was in her life. But He knew. Hallelujah. He knew. And she wasn't even looking for it. But He knew. Amen. She didn't know what to find. She didn't know what direction to go. But He knew. Come on. Amen. This is what causes me to love Him so much. Because there's things as I trust in Him, let Him lead me and guide me. There's things that are before me that I don't even know before that are before me. But He knows. And I give my heart to Him to lead me in the midst of it. So here He was. He's at this place. He begins to deal with this. He begins to speak to her heart. A deeper well. There was a heart issue in the midst of this thing. And it says, and whosoever drinketh of this shall thirst again. You will thirst again. That thing that you've been drinking from, and He knows what it is. She's thirsty. Tell your neighbor, are you thirsty? I want you to know sometimes I'm thirsty right now. Hang on. Said that word and I thought, man, I need to get a drink. You know how it is? You can't quench it. He knows those things. And He knows and He tries to stop us from trying to find everything else to quench that thirst that He disrupts. And He came and He offered her something that she's never had before. And in the midst of that, He says this to her and He says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up as everlasting life. Tell your neighbor, it's life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. Something started within her. I need this. And he says, and I thirst not, neither come. He says, and I thirst. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not neither. Come hither to draw. I want you to see there that she was thirsty for something. She knew it, but she didn't know what it was, but He did. And He was about ready to narrow it down. So I want you to know, as we begin to walk with God, we have to listen to what God begins to speak to us and begin to respond to it. How many of you guys remember the story of Jonah? When God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish, God was speaking to something within him that he didn't even know what was wrong. But there was a bitterness within him. There was a bitterness deep within him that was rooted within him that was disrupting. Come on, amen. That was causing him pain. And I don't want to get into it now, but they said that bitterness, unforgiveness, all these things can be attached to every disease known to man. And I was amazed by it because I was shocked by how that they tied every one of these diseases that we have, that we're not meant to have, that we have because of these things. And He deals with bitterness and unforgiveness so much that we don't hold it. I want you to know there's some things that fall in your lap that you didn't ask for. Come on, amen. So here it is. And I began to think about this. I began to look and, you know, that we watched the movie Saturday or Wednesday about the military. He had PTSD. And that is the trauma that you experience when you're in wartime. And there's something within every one of us that God built within us, our bodies, that we have this thing called fight or flight. And they begin to study it even more now where they understand it, that it is real, that PTSD. Because what happens is we in our bodies begin to react to a fight that you're about ready to go into, a trauma you're about ready to experience. Whatever that thing is, or whether you're running from something, you're scared from something, you're experiencing this trauma, and your body reacts to that. They said that your blood becomes stickier. I don't know if I can say it the right way. I don't know. But it becomes so that you don't bleed out. And they said your muscles begin to expand and all these different. But if you stay in that condition, it'll kill you. It will eventually deteriorate you and cause disease to come. I want you to know there's some fights that we're fighting continually in our mind over and over again that are disrupting us, that are causing us pain, causing us PTSD, trauma from that moment. And we're carrying it on. Even those men that go over in battle, they come back and they're in mind, they're still in war. I want you to know that it's so, it looks hand to hand. You look and there's people that are living in our midst, even some of us that hold on to these things in our hearts that are causing us trauma because we're fighting it all the time. We're battling these things. Instead of we got to go to a place and walk with God, say, here I am. I need this because I'm thirsty. I'm tired of being this way. I don't want to do this continually in my life, but I need to give it to God. He will give it to you. I want you to know there's some things that are in our life that are so hard we don't know, but He, hallelujah, can do all things. Amen. All things we could do through Christ who strengthens me, that we begin to exchange what I have for what He has. He has forgiveness. He has peace. He has joy. Come on, amen. That we ask of God these things. That we don't hold on to that fight or flight. Does that make sense? So he says, the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. Go, call thy husband. Wow. This is where he hit her heart. This is where he, right then and there, because he was dealing with the issue. Because he could just give her that water. But I want you to know that she might go back to the same thing over and over and over again. But he was dealing with a heart issue. Something that was deep within her. That he was the only answer for it. Amen? He was the only answer to her problem that she was experiencing. It was a heart issue. Now let's check this out. And Jesus was... just want to share you a few things. Is that all right? You okay? Am I making sense? But Jonah ignored God's word. And in the midst of it, it exposed his bitterness by the request that God asked. His bitterness was exposed by the request that God asked. I'm going to say it again. His bitterness was exposed by the request that God asked from him. Sometimes God will ask us things that we don't understand. We know that we should do, but we don't do. I want you to know that sometimes God's dealing with something in our hearts at that moment. We need to deal with it. We need to respond to it. We need to move towards God, not from God. Amen? So, let me look at John 6:60. I want to read this because I want you to see this. It says, many disciples desert Jesus at this time. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can hear this? I want you to hear this and understand that sometimes there's some things that God reveals to us that we have a hard time hearing it ourselves. We have a hard time accepting it. And the things that Jesus was saying to them was disrupting what was in their heart. He spoke these things because he wasn't going to let them go through the same routine that religion was working, wasn't working for them. Come on, amen. The way they were believing, what was within their heart, wasn't working for them. Amen. Thank you, brother. Are we the only church with a doorbell? Maybe, right? You're coming home. So he says, and this is a hard saying. This was a hard saying. He says, who can hear it? That's what they said. Now let's just jump real quick to John 25. And I want to share with you what Jesus was dealing with. What Jesus was trying to get across. Because he was disrupting their thinking. And these were the religious leaders at the time. I want you to know that he didn't pull any punches, but he was trying to disrupt. He wasn't going to let his image and his likeness come on, be represented in the wrong way. But he wanted a true heart. He wanted ones that had his heart of worship. So he wasn't going to leave it unexposed, but he was going to present himself to this problem so they could deal with it. And he was saying some things that were hard. And listen, I want you to know, and I love the way this begins because it says this. It says, and when they found him, say on the other side. Listen, this is what's powerful that Jesus says. He says he's going to go to the other side. Hey, guys. What are you doing? Grab a front seat right here. Amen. See, you were at a graduation party? See, and they show up for church. Good job. So listen, he was saying, I want to go to the other side. I want you to hear this and know this. I love this and everything that he does. He dealt with a woman with a deep issue within her heart at a well. He's dealing with these people and they were seeking him. I want you to know that he wants to bring you to the other side. He wants to bring you to the other side. He's not going to leave you on one side, but he's going to challenge you to come on over. Amen. To step beyond where you are to come where he is. But some things challenge us and keep us from being where he is. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's shame. Sometimes it's things from the past. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's bitterness. But he wants us to move to the other side. He wants us to step over, to get beyond where we are. This is life. I want you to know that God's walking with us so we can experience him. And every time, I want you to know we go from one shoreline to another shoreline. From one experiencing, from one birthing place to another birthing place. We have a lot of birthing. Come on. There's a lot of birthing within us that comes forth out of our lives. Sometimes it takes longer than others. Sometimes it's a short time. Sometimes it takes longer. Because he puts things within our heart so those things get developed and come forth out of us. So he begins to deal with this. And Jesus begins to say some things. And Jesus answered, he said, verily, verily, I say to you, seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for meat which perishes, but for that which endureth in everlasting life. I want you to see that he begins to go and he says, and then he said unto them, what shall we do? This is what they said. What shall we do to work the works, to get what you're saying? And Jesus looked at them and he says, to believe. Tell your neighbor, believe. I want you to know that it wasn't believing what your heart, it's believing him. Because your heart is deceptive. Our heart is a thing that will always go to that safety place. It tries to protect you. That's what your flesh does. It tries to protect you with pride. We don't let nobody know that we're going through something. I want you to see that I'm perfect. I got it all together. I heard a thing today. It says that we're like tacos. How was it? We don't have to be perfect just like tacos because we love them even though they crumble. Is that the way it is? Huh? Say again? Even when they're broken, he loves us. Amen? I want you to see this. So what did he say? He says he's always crossing over. And this is how that we believe. This is the work of God. That you believe on him and he hath sent. Whom he has sent, that he sent me. This is the beginning that he begins to speak with them. He says, you must believe that I am the Son of God. He says, you must believe. So it was a belief thing. And so God began to deal with their hearts about what they believed in. I want you to know there's some things that we have built foundations on in our lives. A belief system. These ones that were there, this religious belief system that they built upon that would crumble. It wasn't going to last. Because it was based upon man's. So Jesus began to deal with it. And then he begins to go overboard. Come on, amen. I said this before that this is the moment that everything's growing. The church is expanding. People are everywhere. And then Jesus began to go. He says, he went over the edge where he says that you need to eat of my flesh. I could just see those disciples looking at one another. He says, oh my goodness. How are we going to explain this? And you must drink of my blood. I mean, that just threw them over the top. Come on. I mean, can you just put yourself there and just think about this and think about when he said these things? And I want you to know that he said these things the most. This is the truth that he was declaring to him. This was the truth that they were declaring to those ones at that moment about who he was. About them partaking of everything that he is. All his might, the life that he has. That he is the bread of life. That his blood is the life source. It is our forgiveness. It is because of that that we are forgiven and have life because of that. You must partake of this life. And he said it so that they could really grab hold of it. But I want you to know that he began to disrupt their thinking. He began to, there was tears within their heart that were growing up that they didn't even know were there. And as soon as Jesus declared it with his word,
They were revealed.
I want you to know that, listen to me, we cannot walk with God and not love His Word. We need to love His Word. We're thirsty for a lot of things. We're hungry for a lot of things. But the one thing that we need to ask God is to give you a heart after His Word. Come on, amen. A heart that we know His Word. That we know the Word. That we cherish it. That we hold it in our hearts. That it keeps us from doing right or doing the wrong things. Because we know His Word. And it stays before our hearts. So he said, he began to declare these things. And then he said this, and he says, and Jesus knew, this is in verse 61, as he revealed this to them, that who he was. And they had a trouble with it because they challenged it. And they said, wait a minute, isn't this Joseph, Mary and Joseph's son? They were looking at the flesh. They weren't looking at the Spirit. They weren't looking at him that way. They weren't taking hold of that. The evidence that was before them. They weren't listening to the Spirit of God. But they were listening to their heart, to their flesh that was protecting. Because we've seen this Jesus growing up as a young child. How can this be? How could he have come from heaven? Because they begin to reason it in our minds. That's what we do in our hearts. We reason what God says. The moment that we begin to take hold of God, the moment you hear that word, we begin to reason in our heart. How can this be? Eat of my flesh. And they weren't even taking hold of it, but they were reasoning in their mind. They were questioning. What was questioning was the heart of what they knew. The foundation that they built for themselves, Jesus was disrupting. He was pulling things out. That's what He does. He was taking the tares out. That were there. So he says, doth this offend you? He knew it did. That word offend means scandalous. That's where we get the word scandal. Because it was trapping what was within them to be caught. I want you to know that sometimes when I'm standing here, that I'm offended by what I hear in my heart. Come on. Sometimes it offends me. Because sometimes I rely on my own self. Sometimes I trust my ways instead of His ways. Sometimes there's things that I'm not ready to deal with yet. And God says now. And I'm offended by now. Am I being real? See, those things sometimes, they come and they're growing up within us, and we become offended by them. But it's at that moment we're hearing Him that we need to respond to that offense. We need to take hold of it. And He says, it is the Spirit of God that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He told him right off the bat that, listen, I'm not talking about drinking my natural blood. It's spirit. I'm talking spirit. But they didn't hear it. They were so offended by what he says that their ears were turned. And he said this, and he says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would begin to believe not, and they should betray him. And he said, therefore said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to me by the Father. From this time on, many of the disciples went back. This was their shoreline that they were crossing to. But they went back. They turned the ship around and they went back because they didn't accept what was before them. This offense that they had to let God deal with. I want you to know you're not meant to deal with it on your own. But He presents Himself to us that He can deal with it. You say, God, Lord, this is hard. Man, you're really offending me. But I trust you. I know your ways are higher than my ways. Let me try to wrap this up. And He says, but they, there they were, He says, and from that time on, He says, many of them left. And they said to Jesus, unto the 12, will you also go away? I want you to see this. And He began to speak to those that were in the inner circle. And He says, will you also go away? Are you going to leave also? Are you also going to go back? Are you also going to turn away? Are you going to go backwards? Jeremiah 7:23. You guys got to make sure you tell my wife that I wasn't running around tonight. Amen. He says, but this thing I commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk ye in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it might be well unto you. That it might be well unto you. If you respond to my command, to that thing that offends you, that thing that I've brought before us, that every one of us are at that place, every one of us somewhere, sometimes, are offended by something. And sometimes that offense comes that we think, I can't believe this person did this or that, but I want you to know that maybe it isn't about them, maybe it's about us. Maybe God's dealing with something that's in our hearts that we don't know about. Amen? So he says, and Simon Peter answered him. Simon's always quick to speak. He says to him, where shall we go? I love that response. He says, man, what else are we going to do? I mean, what else do I have? I've come this far. Come on, tell someone, I've come this far, baby. I've come this far, baby. And he says, and Simon Peter answered, he says, hast thou the words of eternal, you have eternal life. I want you to know that he knew in his heart, even though he was going to make mistakes too, he wasn't perfect. He was going to make a mistake. He was going to fail before Christ. But God knew, hallelujah. He knew that. And he says, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them. He says, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Who's he referring to? Judas. Now, I just want to add this because I think it's pretty powerful at this moment that we could see that even in the midst of every one of them, there was tares growing right there. There was tares that were there within those ones, that there was something within Judas that Jesus did that offended him, that bothered him, because he was carrying it in his heart. Because he deceived. He turned over Christ. But I want you to see something. Do you know that out of all those tribes, that even though he knew that he was going to do that, he still went on the cross. He still went to the cross. So Judas, and I begin to realize that the tribe that Judas came from was the tribe of Judah. And I want you to see that the one that he went after, the enemy tried to plant the seed in, was the worshiper. I want you to know that the enemy will do everything he can to disrupt your worship. When we begin to not worship, I want you to get this, because I feel this in my heart, that I feel sometimes that we hold back from our worship. Sometimes whatever we're going through, that's the first thing that suffers sometimes, is our worship. Come on, sometimes when we're doing something and we know that we shouldn't do, or we feel ashamed, is the first thing that suffered is what? It's worship. The one thing that suffers is worship. He gives to disrupt our worship. At that place. It's the place in worship where that we open our heart, where we begin, enter His gates with thanksgiving, with worship. And it's that moment where we enter and let God come in and begin to speak to our hearts. At that moment, it began to be closed off, that we don't let Him in, that He don't speak to our hearts. That we're not offended. Sometimes in worship, I'm in places and we begin to declare who He is. And I begin to repent because of my unbelief. That He has no rival, that He has no equal, that He's above all, hallelujah, that He's great and mighty. Sometimes I become offended by it. Say, man, I need you, God. I'm sorry. I repent. So the enemy wants to do everything he can to plant the seed and disrupt our worship, that we stop worshiping. We stop being at that place. We let God begin to speak to our hearts, begin to work within us, and deal with those issues, the things that are within us that don't give us a sure foundation. And I thought this was, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in your ways." Psalms 139:23. But we reason sometimes. Our last thing was this, was the next verse, and it says, he says that he knew Judas would betray him, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked into Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because of the Jews sought to kill him. I just began to think about that. I began to think that Jesus took off the garbs that everybody noticed what he would wear as being a Jew. See, at this point, he knew that they were so provoked by his words. They were so angry that they're willing to kill him, to push him out of the way. Their hearts became so hard, stifled, that they're willing to kill him. I want you to know that I don't want to kill the presence of God in my life. I don't want to be disrupted by disobedience, by not being at a place where that I will be offended. Jesus says, you will be offended. Trust me, you will be offended. But what we do with it, how do I deal with offense when it comes from God? Come on, how many of you have ever, you don't have to raise your hand because I know you won't raise your hand because you won't admit it. How many of you have ever been mad at God? Or how many of you have been upset with the way things turned out? Come on, amen. You have been. It has been at that place that you've questioned it. That you were offended by, I can't believe this. Come on, how many of you have ever watched somebody that you know is in the wrong, they've done the wrong thing, and you see blessings pouring out on them? And it has made your skin crawl. I'm being real. But maybe those things have been in my view so that I could see my heart. So that I can open up to a living God, a loving God, and say, here I am. Here I am. Watch my heart, God. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that I pray to God, Lord, that this day and age we look around and we see that you're dealing with the hearts of all man, not just the church, but the world. In the midst of all this chaos, to God, Lord, you're dealing with man's hearts. Lord, I pray that we be on the side, to God, Lord, that each one of us, that we be on a side that we might be offended, but God, Lord, that we turn our ears to you to hear. We be like Peter, that I know within him he was offended by these words, but he said that the words that you speak are life. I pray to God, Lord, that we hear what you say in the Spirit, not our flesh. Pray to God, Lord, that we open ourselves up to you, that you create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise. And with these right hearts, to God, Lord, we will declare with all of our hearts that we are blessed and highly favored.